Hello, this is Roy Lilly. You know, confusion is confusing. It creeps up on you and hijacks the best laid plans of mice and men, to pinch a phrase from Robbie Burns. We're heading for a period of confusion. Confusion about what's happening, and that confuses what we should do about it. I have no idea what the future funding for the NHS will look like. If the cuts we're being Damocles with are right, then NHS England's chair is right. Richard Meddings has said he will have to have a serious conversation with Her Majesty's government about just what they want the NHS to do, or, more importantly, not to do. I fear that will require a level of clarity beyond the present incumbent's abilities. Nevertheless, they made the mess, make them own it. Politicians can't seem to make up their minds about the NHS. They're confused. Either the NHS is a serious part of the mechanisms and progress of the nation, ensuring we have a fit and healthy workforce, bonny babies to build the next generation with their grannies in fine fettle and not a burden of cost for them when they grow up, or it's a drag on the economy, holding back investment in more important departments. Does the ambition of the nation intersect with health, or does it create a crossroads? Is health and well-being really seen by Her Majesty's government as an important component of the wealth of the nation? It's hard to argue it does. Health funding is hand-to-mouth, grudging. International comparisons are dangerous. Systems are different, populations are different. The best I've seen is the work by the OECD, which I linked to in this morning's e-letter, and start around the graph on graph number 7, I think it is, 7.5. Annual growth in per capita health expenditure, annual growth in per capita health expenditure in 2015 to 19 and 2019 to 20. That's what the graph's about. Now, the 19-20 numbers are distorted by the response to COVID, but the 15 to 19 figures, well, they're interesting. We're eight places behind the OECD average, neighbours with Colombia, New Zealand, and only 0.7 ahead of Italy. Total healthcare expenditure in the UK in 2020 was 257.6, I think it is, billion, about £3,840 a person, or 12% of gross domestic product. Just over half of that expenditure will be accounted for by the over 55s. Many will, but a big percentage of whom will not be economically active. The so-called democratic dividend is far from clear. There is a wealthier is healthier theory, the idea that if you have economic growth, you're acquiring the resources that will help society's health to improve as a whole. However, Dr. Larry King from the University of Cambridge's Department of Sociology writes, and I quote, "Our study found that wealth is not enough. If policymakers want to improve health, they need to look more closely at the impact that they're having on individual living standards. The upshot, there is a subtle relationship between poverty, inequality, and health." Well, what about the other way round? Healthier is wealthier. In his Health and Wealth of Nations article, Harvard's David Bloom writes, "Empirical studies show health improvements provide a significant boost to economic growth. This leads to the view health, like education, is a fundamental component of human capital and suggests the notion of health-led growth. Better health leads to higher income. There is also a positive feedback effect. Health and income improvements are mutually reinforcing. Health systems have other benefits. Health and social care provides 12% of all employment. The only other industry to account for more than 10% of employment was retail. As anchor institutions, hospitals contribute to their local economies, innovation, education, and opportunities. Politicians want more health care for less money delivered by fewer people. They want economic growth for less taxation and have no real idea how to go about it. We've just seen the confusion Tizonomics has caused. One thing above all else, the NHS needs certainty. As the autumn statement gets closer, it's worth thinking if overseas development can be sure of their annual allocation, as can defence, confusion about the future of NHS funding makes no sense. The famine or feast approach creates waste, duplication of effort, variation, catch up, and makes planning impossible. In the language of investment markets, there's a phrase, the certainty equivalent. The certainty equivalent. In plain English, the amount of guaranteed money an investor would accept now instead of taking a risk of getting more in the future. And I'd guess the majority of trust finance directors would take their chances on a fixed percentage of GDP for the next 5 years rather than the confusion of what is likely to be next week's hand-to-mouth. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again soon.